The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
For another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast, Bears Banter, powered by Windy City Gridiron and SB Nation. Bill Zimmerman with you, and unscheduled podcast here. Wanted to jump on, do a quick podcast, because I just feel like there's a lot on my chest about Justin Fields that I wanted to discuss here. So want to kind of get into a few things, get into the Justin Fields market, how we got here, where we might be headed, and just get a few things off my chest. And before we do that, I just wanted to do a brief recap for NFL free agency, what the Chicago Bears have done so far. Don't want to spend a lot of time on it. In fact, I will try and put a hard cap on this. Let's just do a turbo speed 60-second. This is what the Chicago Bears have done so far, and quick thoughts on it. So let's just jump right in, and here we go. Ryan Bates, I love Ryan Bates as a swing interior offensive lineman. Don't love it as center, starting center, especially knowing that Jenkins gets hurt, Davis gets hurt. One of them or both of them may not be here in 2025. Makes a lot of sense to have him on the roster, but would much rather sign another center and have Bates as the sixth offensive lineman coming off the bench. Kevin Byard, I was surprised pulled the trigger on that so quickly, but hey, he wanted a veteran safety. He got a veteran safety in Kevin Byard. DeAndre Swift, I wouldn't spend money on running backs, but Shane Waldron loves running backs, so DeAndre Swift is here. Gerald Everett, I love Gerald Everett. I'm very pleased that Gerald Everett is here. He's the best tight end two, pass catching tight end the Chicago Bears have had in some time. Jonathan Owens, hey, look, I've wanted safety depth here for a while. Jonathan Owens brings that. I'm more excited that Simone Biles is now a Chicago Bears fan. Welcome to Chicago, Simone. We need an edge. We need a wide receiver. Ryan Poles isn't done. Make sure you get that done, Ryan Poles. All right, that was 1 minute. So let's move on to Justin Fields here and the market. And this is getting really testy on social media. It continues to be a hot button topic. And I think some interesting things have happened here over the last couple weeks. And let's talk about perception of Justin Fields nationally versus locally. And this is the one thing. And I've talked to a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, about Justin Fields. I've talked to some national people, local people in other markets, Chicago people. I have tried to really canvass this as best as I can to try and get some accurate idea what's going on here. And here's what I have learned. This, to me, is the most shocking thing that I've learned, is that the perception of Justin Fields. Now, we know there are huge Justin Fields fans in Chicago. I know some of you guys like to call them a cult. I get it. I get these hardcore Justin Fields fans, right? I get it. I see them. They are all over my mentions. They have been since I sent that Caleb Williams tweet in October about how there's nothing Justin Fields can do until, you know, if the Bears have the number one pick. And clearly it's headed in that direction. So when I talk to people nationally about Justin Fields, what I have found is I'm going to call myself a Justin Fields critic. Now, I love Justin Fields. I wanted it to work out with him. I think I'm just coming with a realistic approach to what the Chicago Bears are going to do at quarterback, but Fields fans want to call me a Justin Fields critic. So let's call me a Justin Fields critic. So the Justin Fields critics, the people like me, and there's plenty of them in the media that look at it and go, hey, guys, look, Justin Fields, we wish it worked out here. It wasn't all his fault. But at the same time, the Chicago Bears, the best path moving forward here is to use that number one pick on a quarterback, presumably Caleb Williams, and move on from Justin Fields. People like myself have a higher opinion of who Justin Fields is as a quarterback than people do nationally, right? This is what I've learned. So, like, if you have tiers about Justin Fields, you've got the Justin Fields, the crazy fanatics. You have the Chicago Justin Fields critics. And then below them, you have general national fans, national media, that and teams and organizations that see Justin Fields even below that. That's the way I have perceived things here after talking to a lot of people over the last 6 to 8 weeks about the Justin Fields situation. It's wild, guys. It's really wild about the perception of Justin Fields as a quarterback nationally versus locally. The local media, local fans think a lot more highly of Justin Fields than they do nationally. So what does that mean for Justin Fields? It means for Justin Fields, when you look at organizations, and this goes beyond media and this goes beyond fans, when you look at organizations who are trying to shore up the quarterback position, we know the most important position in sports, they obviously are going to examine Justin Fields and see, is Justin Fields worth trying to bring in? And Ryan Poles expected, I believe, that there would be at least three, maybe four, five teams that would be interested in Justin Fields' services. Because you look at it and go, is Justin Fields a top 32 quarterback in the NFL? My answer is yes. So therefore, Justin Fields should be a starting quarterback. Now, that doesn't necessarily, like, Justin Fields is currently better than Bryce Young. Justin Fields, you know, Anthony Richardson didn't even play. You know, he's definitely better than Anthony Richardson at this moment. Of course, Anthony Richardson could leapfrog him. But when you're looking at the young quarterbacks, you sit there and go, well, Justin Fields is better than them. But that doesn't mean the Colts should trade for Justin Fields and start him. That doesn't mean the Panthers should, right? These are obvious things about, yet sometimes you go with the young quarterback that's not as good as an established veteran because you're hoping he's going to leapfrog and become, you know, a certified, you know, solid player at that position. So it doesn't mean that if, you know, if Justin Fields is the 20th best quarterback, that there's 12 or 13 teams that would want his services, but it should mean in theory that there's five or six teams. But, you know, those five or six teams didn't seem to materialize. And why is that? And the bottom line is basically the asking price versus the reality of what they would pay. Because when you look at Justin Fields, and everyone says the same thing that I keep hearing, well, you know, you're getting 2 years of Justin Fields. Whoever trades for him would pick up the fifth year option. They get, you know, $3 million is all the team would have to pay this year, and then $25 million next year. So it's this two-year, $28 million contract. Not quite, because most teams, in my understanding here, would have zero interest in picking up Justin Fields' fifth-year option because he's not in the building. They'd have to make that decision in May. They've only would have had him for a month or two. So they're going to decline the fifth-year option and see where they go after 2024. Well, if that's the case, everyone, then you're trading for only 1 year of Justin Fields. Yeah, it's a cheap year of Justin Fields, but you don't know where you're going to be. So if Ryan Poles, and believe me, when Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport and everyone is talking about, oh, they're going to get at least a second round pick, maybe a first, that narrative that was being formed, let's call it 6 weeks ago, that was a big push, in my opinion, from Justin Fields' camp, David Mulugeta, and Ryan Poles and the Bears' front office. They wanted to create a market for Justin Fields and said that market is a second-round pick. That was the Bears kind of calling out, in my opinion, that was the Bears calling out to the NFL and saying, Justin Fields is available. Come get him. Here's the price. Now, again, that's not how things are worded exactly publicly. That's not what Ryan Poles will say publicly. We know the games that these franchises and organizations play with the media and how they word things, and you got to read between the lines. I understand. We all know that. So that's not, you know, Ryan Poles isn't going to come out on February 1st and be like, Justin Fields is available. Come get him. That's not how this is going to work. But that's what we heard moving forward for a good 2-3 weeks, that was the market for Justin Fields. So that's when I started poking around. And you know, this is where I will push back on people who are just like, oh, everybody's guessing. Nobody knows anything. People are only giving opinions. Is there speculation involved? Of course there's speculation involved. That's part of the job if you're covering a football team, is to speculate what they might do, to get, you know, what we like to call informed speculation, where you talk to people and they help form an opinion that's based in facts and the way things are trending. So I'll just come out and I'll say this. Like, I'm like, all right, let me try and figure out, this is, you know, about a month ago now. Let me try and figure out the Justin Fields market. So I talked to someone that I know, talked to people in the Falcons organization. And I got the idea that Justin Fields was like plan D or plan E for them, that there was not a lot of interest there. Kirk Cousins, there was interest. Baker Mayfield, there was interest. Maybe even Russell Wilson. Maybe selecting a rookie quarterback, even though I had heard they wanted to go veteran, and obviously that's what they did with Kirk Cousins. Tampa. I thought Tampa might be an option. I talked to someone who covers the Bucs and knows that organization really well. And talking to him, he says, I think Baker Mayfield's staying. I think this is about, he got the contract pretty close too. And therefore, that's not an option. Pittsburgh. I talked to someone in Pittsburgh who says they spoke with people in the organization, in football operations, and said, this is probably heading towards Russell Wilson. Justin Fields not a fit for a variety of reasons. Don't want to give up draft capital. Like, so I went around. The Raiders. I talked to someone who covers the Raiders. It's like an official person within the Raiders organization and part of the media. Talk to him where, you know, it's like Larry Mayer, right? Where the Bears reach out to Larry Mayer and say, we've signed DeAndre Swift, write an article, and then the Bears can put everything out on social media and on the website. And Larry Mayer gets those pieces of information ahead of time because, you know, when those things are announced, there's an article accompanying it, right? That's how Larry Mayer, being the official beat writer of the Chicago Bears website, that's how that stuff works. So I talked to someone within the Raiders organization and, you know, it pointed that way with Luke Getsy, that was going to be an odd fit because it didn't work here. So why would it work there? So that's when I sent out the tweet in, I think it was about February 21st, 22nd, where I was like, I don't think this Justin Fields market is what is being portrayed by Schefter and Rapp. And I said in the tweet, I'm like, it's never a good idea to do this, but I am not seeing anything that you know, in terms of who I'm talking to, I don't see anything that points this to being a robust market where he's definitely getting a two or a one for a trade for Justin Fields. So I started looking at this and going, I'm not sure if that's the case. We get to the NFL Combine, and I can guarantee you this. If a team walked into Ryan Poles' suite up in Lucas Oil Stadium while, you know, defensive linemen are running 40-yard dashes and said, Ryan, we want Justin, second-round pick this year. Ryan says, all right, how about we get a, you know, suite it up a little second-rounder and a fifth-rounder? Or maybe it just ends up being a straight second-rounder. The deal's done. He pulls the trigger there. Absolutely, I am 100% convinced of that. But that didn't happen. I am confident in saying Ryan Poles floated this out here, did not get nibbles for the price he was asking for. Because again, as we mentioned, Justin Fields was only going to be a one-year rental, in essence, before a team would decide what they were going to do. So Justin Fields at a second-round pick, even if you love the athleticism and love the upside, that's steep. So then you start hearing, well, it's not a second round pick. It's a day two pick. Price starts coming down a little. Doesn't seem like there's nibbles there either. So what happens? Baker Mayfield goes to Tampa. Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. The, you know, Jacoby Brissett goes to New England. You sit there and go, is Justin Fields better than Jacoby Brissett? Maybe. But Jacoby Brissett does not cost a draft pick. And that goes a long way. And especially when you're talking a day two draft pick. You're talking a day two draft pick here. Not a fifth rounder, not a sixth rounder. The market for Justin Fields totally changes if the asking price plummets. I guarantee you, if Ryan Poles had come out and be like, all we want is a fifth round pick and we just want to send Justin on his way. If that was the case, then Justin Fields would be gone already. But that was not the case. He wanted to maximize the value. Ryan Poles thought there'd be a bigger market for Justin Fields. And what he realized is that teams did not want to give up value draft capital. In a draft that's considered pretty loaded for about 100 to 125 picks, the bottom end of this draft is not considered very strong. But the top end, so those day two picks, when especially you're talking about wide receivers that are going to go in round three, that in some years could be late first round draft picks. You're talking about this kind of, they're loaded at certain positions. Tackle, we hear tackle's an amazing year for tackles. And I know most of those guys are going to go off in the first round, but that means those interior guys are going to get pushed further down into the second and third rounds. So you're going to have some depth there as well. You're going to have depth in a lot of positions that's going to allow teams to get really good value on those second round and third round picks. So asking teams to trade for Justin Fields for 1 year when you have draft capital that's that value was a tall order. So you see the Raiders making a decision to go Gardner Minshew because he doesn't cost draft capital. You see, and again, Gardner Minshew and Luke Getsy, we know what he likes to do. We saw it with Tyson Bagent. Fits perfectly, right? Jacoby Brissett, a great bridge. If the Patriots are saying we're drafting Drake May or Jaden Daniels at number three overall, there's no point to spend a draft pick on Justin Fields when you can get an adequate quarterback who's just bridging for a year. You're not committing to this quarterback. You just want to bridge him for a year until your rookie quarterback is ready to play. Well, then you're not going to look at Justin Fields. So what happens is all these teams that were speculated, oh, the Patriots could make sense, the Raiders could make sense, the Steelers, the Falcons, you know, everyone heard that list. Suddenly we realize that for all those teams, Justin Fields was not plan A. For most of them, Justin Fields was not plan B. And look, is that fair to Justin Fields? I would say no, because I think Justin Fields is now being painted as a quarterback worse than he actually is. Justin Fields is a playmaker, crazy athleticism, excellent arm talent, just struggles playing in structure. And that's also the other issue is coaches want their plays to be run the way they call them. And that's not Justin Fields' strength. And when you are looking at your quarterback's options in free agency, trade, draft, whatever it might be, coaches also look at which quarterback is going to execute my offense. Now, we hear about it all the time, that it should be who's the best quarterback and how can I build my offense around them. That's a great way to do it. But the reality is coaches are stubborn. Coaches are stuck in their ways. And a lot of them have an offense that they believe is going to work and they want a quarterback to execute it their way. We saw it with Matt Nagy constantly. Finally, Bill Lazor made things easier for Mitch Trubisky and Mitch Trubisky played better. Mitch Trubisky wasn't the answer at quarterback, but Bill Lazor figured out how to squeeze some more yards and more points out of Mitch Trubisky than Matt Nagy could those last couple of years. So that's what happens here. Coaches, right or wrong, want to run their offense. And right now they look at Justin Fields and go, he's not going to run my offense. And if I only have 1 year of control of this guy, if I could have 2 or 3 years of cost-controlled control of Justin Fields, well, then I could sit him for a year, teach him my offense, work with him. But that's not an option. This is one offseason, one training camp, and in he goes to run an offense. And a lot of coaches aren't comfortable doing that. Unless there was this coach that was like, Justin Fields is amazing. I can see it. I'm going to unlock him. Then that coach, head coach or offensive coordinator, is also doing this. They're banking their job on Justin Fields. You commit to Justin Fields like that, and it doesn't work, you may be out of a job. And do you want to risk your job on Justin Fields? All these things come into play. This just is not, well, Justin Fields is the 20th or 21st best quarterback in the NFL, so teams should want him. There's all these different avenues that play into this. So when people say that, well, clearly Justin Fields is staying because Ryan Poles hasn't traded him, the issue here is that Ryan Poles has had to pivot and adjust the asking price. And right now, now we hear Rappaport and Schefter, and the dunks that are happening by the Fields fan club makes no sense to me. Listen to the clips. They're using that Ian Rappaport clip like, look, Justin Fields is staying. He said it. They're not even shopping him. That's not what they said. They haven't seriously engaged in trade talks. What does that mean? Seriously. Doesn't mean they haven't engaged in trade talks. Means they haven't seriously engaged in trade talks. They also said they were open to trading him. So Ian Rapoport says that while they work on Caleb Williams and they're open to trading Justin Fields, they haven't seriously discussed trading Justin Fields. Seriously means they haven't gotten into advanced talks with a team about trading him, because where the price point was, the asking price for Justin Fields was too high and they were not getting offers. So yes, they can adjust it and say, oh, this is a Caleb Williams thing. This is about us getting to his pro day and making sure he's our guy. Spin. That 100% is spin to me. That is not grounded 100% in reality. So at this point, when you need to pull back, readjust your price for Justin Fields, talk to David Mulugeta. You know they're going to work together. They want to try and find a landing spot for Justin Fields. And the more Mulugeta can help that and get more for Justin Fields, the more it's going to help his future earning potential. It's like Javon Kinlaw, who did nothing in San Francisco and still got $8 million because he's a former first-round pick. If Javon Kinlaw had the same results in San Francisco as a fourth or a fifth-round pick, he'd be getting like a league minimum deal. So you want value following you for your future earning potential. That's really important here. And David Mulugeta knows that. He's a smart agent. So now the Bears are readjusting, and they're trying to figure out what's the maximum price we can really get. And you're talking about teams now that are going to have their starting quarterback situation settled. So you want to find a team like the Seattle Seahawks that say they have Geno Smith, but they don't have a backup. They haven't committed to Geno Smith. It's his last year of his contract. They said some weird things about him. Maybe that's a team. The Seahawks could come calling. I know it sounds crazy, but a team like the Chiefs, Matt Nagy liked Justin Fields. It was one of the reasons the Bears drafted him, traded up for him, was that Matt Nagy was a believer. So now Matt Nagy is there as the offensive coordinator. Andy Reid, brilliant offensive guy. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, brilliant quarterback. Let's bring in Justin Fields as a backup and see what we can do with him. Maybe we can even utilize him in packages as a backup quarterback. And if Patrick Mahomes goes down for two or three games, we feel we have a really good quarterback that could step in and perform. These are the type of things that teams are looking at now. Justin Fields as QB2 with maybe potential packages to utilize his athleticism within our offense. So that's where we are right now with Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears, is Ryan Poles kind of recalibrating the situation so he can put out, well, we want to wait till we see Caleb Williams and know Caleb Williams further. It's a nice little PR thing for Justin Fields and saving face for the Bears that they haven't moved on from him yet. Because again, Ryan Poles is very honest when he speaks. He's not 100% forthright because no GM is. But in terms of Ryan Poles compared to how a lot of other GMs are with the media, he's honest. Him talking about, if we go down this road with Justin, we want to do right by him. That's about the most open and honest a GM has ever been about trading their current starting quarterback. So if he's accurate, right? He's not lying. He wants to do right by Justin. Keeping Justin Fields here until the draft, because you may be able to get a third round pick instead of a fourth round pick, or a fourth round pick instead of a fifth round pick, that's not really doing right by him. That's leaving him in the gray, as he said, for a good couple months. So you want to move on from him as quickly as possible, but you still want to get decent value and you want to assess his market. So if the entry point is, say, a fifth round pick, and then maybe a team will consider a fourth round pick if you get further down the road, or the Bears can put in a future sweetener. You know, it's Justin Fields for a current fourth round pick in 2024, but the Bears are also going to send back a 2025 sixth round pick, something like that, just to soften the blow a little bit about having to give up that four instead of a five or whatever it might be. Maybe it even turns out that they have to trade him for a sixth round pick this year, but the team attaches a big conditional pick where it's like, all right, it's a fourth round pick in 2025, But if Justin Fields hits a certain number of snaps, it becomes a third round pick. If Justin Fields hits those snaps and we make the playoffs, it becomes a second round pick. You could have a huge condition attached to him where the team basically knows they can control the snaps unless their starting quarterback goes down, Fields comes in, plays well, and the team makes the playoffs. Well, then here's the second round pick for Justin Fields' services. But otherwise, as long as their quarterback stays healthy, we can control the snap count from Justin Fields, and we can make sure that remains a fourth round pick. Like, that's where we're at. So that's going to take probably, you know, a week or two. I think they are working the phones. I think they are trying to get this process to the finish line as quickly as possible, but without rushing it. And at this point, a week from now, when the pro day is basically over and the Bears have met with Caleb Williams and they've done their medicals and they're feeling comfortable, and then they can ship out Justin Fields and say, yeah, see, we were just waiting for the pro day. Once we knew it was going to be Caleb Williams, we've moved on. But for me, and as I've said this, I know for a fact that the Chicago Bears want to take a quarterback this year. Period, end of story. And again, if their assessment finishes that Drake May or Jaden Daniels is their QB1 and they decide to trade down and maneuver to get some assets and finish with that quarterback on the roster, okay, fine. I won't agree with it. But the idea that this is Justin Fields versus Caleb Williams is not a debate. It is not a debate. Justin Fields is not the future, and there is a new quarterback that will be here. Now, if the Bears don't move on, is it possible? I know Josh Lucas mentioned this on my podcast last time he was on, maybe about a month ago, saying it is not out of the deck of cards. It is not out of the realm of possibility that Justin Fields remains and the rookie quarterback is here. They don't want that to happen. I don't think it'll happen. Josh Lucas says it can backfire as it did in 2021 for them. So I look at this and go that Justin Fields is going to be moved. And look, I am frustrated with how people are behaving on Twitter and other forms of social media about this Justin Fields, Caleb Williams thing. It's gotten nasty. There's name calling to Justin Fields, to Caleb Williams, to the people who have certain beliefs. And I'm just speaking honestly here. It's going to be hard for me when Justin Fields is traded not to want to dunk on 800 people that have been in my mentions since October, driving me bananas. Not going to do that, because here's the bottom line. Those people, and I, if you want to say that they're not reading between the lines, they're living in an alternate reality, whatever you want to say about that, the bottom line is they love Justin Fields and they want to keep Justin Fields as their quarterback. So they're going to be going through it. And look, I know there are plenty of people on social media that are just going to spend all day dunking on what's happened here. But I'll try and take a step back. I'll try and remain professional and just move forward with Caleb Williams, Drake May, whoever ends up being the Chicago Bears quarterback for 2024. So that's, to me, where everything sits with Justin Fields right now. I think the idea that people telling you what they're hearing about Justin Fields is just people making things up is complete and total BS. People saying that there is no reporting on this, that it's just speculation and opinions, is total BS. This is something that has been in the works for weeks, for months. This is something that has been evolving. This, you know, Ryan Poles and the organization started in one place, and now they need to pivot and get to a new place. This takes time. It is literally March 13th on the day of this recording. It is the start of the new league year right now. So the idea that Justin Fields is still on the Bears roster at the start of the 2024 league year is a reason to dunk on people who've said that Justin Fields is being traded is nonsensical. Okay? This is a very obvious answer. It really is. Talking to people, this is not a debate. This is not, oh, Ryan Poles sitting there up nights, putting his hands on his hair, just going, oh my God, I don't know what to do. How could we trade Justin Fields? But we have this great opportunity with Caleb Williams. I don't know what to, no. That decision was not difficult. That decision was made January, that decision was made that Justin Fields was not going to be this team's future quarterback and that they would be taking one of these rookies. It's like the idea, Ryan Pohl saying, you'd have to be blown away to move on from Justin Fields. Well, these quarterbacks are the type of quarterbacks that will blow Ryan Pohl away. So just wanted to talk about the Justin Fields situation here for a little bit, kind of talk through everything. So yes, the market has not worked out for Justin Fields. It's a little bit unfair because I do think Justin Fields is a better quarterback than how he's being portrayed. But at the same time, Justin Fields and draft capital, because that's how teams are looking at this, requiring Justin Fields requires giving up draft capital at the price point the Bears were at, was not worth passing on Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew. Certainly wasn't worth passing on Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, taking a chance on Russell Wilson, etc. So that's where we are here. This market is going to have to be reformed. And unfortunately for Justin Fields, he's going to be kind of that QB2 role, it looks like, for 2024. He's going to have to kind of do some damage control, show teams what he can do, have some success, try and rebrand himself, and hopefully get an opportunity in 2025, maybe 2024 due to injury. Otherwise, 2025, who knows, maybe even 2026 to get that starting opportunity once again. It sucks for him. I think he should be a starting quarterback in this league, but the bottom line right now is that job is not available to him. So we're going to have another Bears banter here around the corner, a big guest on it. I'm almost finalized that. You will be excited for that one. So stick around for that and plenty more coming up on the podcast channel this week. Mason West, he's going to be talking free agency. If you want to hear more free agents talk, check out Bear and Balanced from a couple days ago. They did a great job recapping some of the moves the Bears had made up to that point. So bear down, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Adios.